Friends, we have an unusually deep bench this morning. So when I get winded, we can call one of these other guys into the game. And then we got two more after that. So you may want to get yourselves a little comfortable. We could be here a while. Father Krzysztof, Father Chris, for many of us, Kardzis, the pastor of the most Sacred Heart ever in the entire galaxy, church in Fremont, Ohio, and some of the beautiful women with us are members of his community of faith, along with families and friends that have traveled from Fremont and other areas. And we're just honored to have you, Father, and your parish to be with us sharing in this moment. Father Tom Landgraf, though very familiar to us, there may be visitors who are not as familiar with Father Tom, who so generously not only assists us, but has been very, very active and helpful and beneficial with the expansion of the Acts movement here at Little Flower. And of course, Deacon Doug, who also has been very, very active with this movement as well. For three consecutive weeks, well, I know not here at Little Flower, but other parishes, this is what they think. This is what they think. Not most Sacred Heart. Two exceptions. The most Sacred Heart. The most sacredest heart. But there are other people, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but there are other people in other churches the last three Sundays who've actually had this thought, oh my gosh, these are long gospels. Not here, but really long. We heard almost the entirety of the fourth chapter of John's gospel 2 weeks ago. It was about a woman who meets Jesus at a well in the middle of the day. And Jesus offers her water that would be so supercharged with divine grace that she'll never thirst again. Then last weekend, it was the ninth chapter of John's gospel, and it was a man who had been born blind, and dramatic tension that escalates in the stories between religious, really zealots, leaders and zealots, and others, including the blind man who has a perceptive ability to see God despite his disability that supersedes those who have physical sight but really are blind to God. And then today, it's the 11th chapter of John's gospel and the story of Lazarus. It's as if the church is really trying to increase our awareness of what is at store for us in the holiest of weeks, to which we draw ever closer. That in the fourth chapter of John's gospel, this beautiful woman at the well, she's looking for love, but in all the wrong places. And our Lord invites her to experience genuine, authentic love, the kind of love that her heart has been pining to experience, but she had not known before. And not only does she come to believe in an encounter with Christ, she actually leads those in her village, her community, to come to Jesus. And she really is the first evangelist, a Samaritan, an outsider. And then last week, we have the man born blind, and the crisis in the beginning is a misguided group of people who say, well, assuredly, his affliction is due to either his sin, which I don't know how that works if he was born blind, or the sins of his lineage, to which Jesus says in no uncertain terms, that is not true, that our God is not so small as to merely have temper tantrums and to be able to wreak havoc and wrath upon us in our struggles, but a God who wishes to descend in a humility that is unimaginable and becoming one like us in all things but sin, so that we can ascend to who it is that he has created us to be, both here and for all eternity. This week, it's a different struggle, and the struggle is death. And death here is a metaphor, it's an image, it's a symbol, it's a representation of that which weighs us down and that which chokes off the life that God has given to us to experience, not only sealed in the tomb, but this this image of being bound by choices that we've made in our lives that we know have not given praise and glory to God. And the God of the universe, in the person of Jesus Christ, comes. He comes and he demonstrates that there is nothing, there is no thing that you have done or that I have done, however egregious and wrong the choice has been, there is nothing that can keep us from the love of Christ, which conquers all things. And not only does he give the instructions for the stone to be removed, but he brings forth the one who was dead to life. Friends, let's let this remainder of Lent, let's let it be meaningful. Let's let it be worthwhile. Let's dare to permit the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings to give us water that is living, to provide us with a perspective that is more aligned with his, to free us from whatever it is that is holding us back from the best version of ourselves, a version that those whom we encounter need to experience. God's counting us to do that. To recognize with our lives that Jesus indeed is the resurrection, the one who does give life to us. So that we, through our belief in Jesus, not as concept but as person, so that we will come to the fullness of life for which we have been made. In the Lenten season here at Little Flower, we have been using the option given to us with the creed of the Apostles' Creed, which we profess together. So I invite everyone to stand, and for convenience, we can pray the creed together on the monitors.